This is a replay of the Thursday night, July 18th WGN show. We started a little after 11. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, unless sports or something else preempts us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoIP. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and we have the next almost 2 hours to spend together, and I'm sure there'll be a lot to discuss about the speech you just heard, and we will not discuss a word of it on this show. Yes, as always, a political free zone. We will fiddle while Rome burns, and you've got a number of outlets where you can talk to your heart's content on that, but on this show, we kind of forget everything that's happening in any direction and just have a good time. So, 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. I guess actually it does start on a somber note tonight because, of course, it was not totally unexpected, and at 94 years old, it was a life well lived, but nonetheless, you probably heard that Bob Newhart is no longer with us. Yeah, a Chicago original, to say the least. And, you know, for years, I had always heard the story that Dan Sorkin discovered him, which, by the way, is true on WCFL. But the story I had heard is that he was Dan's accountant. That turned out not to be true at all. And, in fact, recently, I came across an interview, it's probably now 20 years old or just about, where Dan explained how he came to learn of Bob Newhart. He first heard of him in probably late 1959, but in 1960, he got involved in earnest. And he sets up Bob and who he is, and then I thought we'd hear one of his, as far as I'm concerned, one of his best bits, or certainly one that just screams Bob Newhart all over the place. I should mention that Shelley Berman was always saying, you know, he stole my act with the phone. Actually, yeah, they both use phones, but the two could be no dissimilar in terms of Bob's approach. But here's Dan telling you how it came about, and then we'll follow up with Bob.
I was doing a morning show in Chicago on WCFL, and Ed Gallagher came to see me. He said, I've got this great tape, and this I'm working with this partner of mine, and his name is Bob Newhart, and the company we formed is called TCN, Tape Network Cooperative, and what we've done is we put these comedy bits together, and we sell them to radio stations for $4 each. Only it costs us $5 to make each one. So the more we sell, the more we lose. And we were hoping to get something else going because we're running out of money. And he gave me the tape, and I listened to the tape, and I thought it was fantastic. I thought he was now Ed's a good friend of mine, but he just wasn't very good on the tape. But this fellow he was working with, this Bob Newhart, was fantastic. And so I played one or two of the tracks on the air, and people thought that Bob Newhart was terrific, too. And Jim Conkling, who was the president of Warner Brothers Records at the time, was coming through town, and he had told me that it looks like Warner Brothers is not going to make it as a record company because none of their albums are selling. And I said, well, how about a comic? You know, comics are really good sale. And he said, yeah, but we... They didn't really have a stable of comedians yet. They didn't have Shelley Berman. They didn't have Nichols and May or Jonathan Winters or any of the other people. And I played him this cassette, and he said, my God, it's fantastic. We're going to book him at his next outing. Well, there was no outing because Bob wasn't appearing anywhere. And so I contacted Tweet Hogan as Bob's manager until Bob got what he wanted. And Tweet booked him into a hotel in Texas somewhere. Warner Brothers papered the house. They got a bunch of people to come in to applaud. And Bob did his routines, every single one of them. That was the button-down mind of Bob Newhart, the first album. And the thing about Newhart was that he sounded like anybody, like your closest friend or somebody you just met or somebody you liked a lot and you would trust with, say you had a daughter, her first date with. That's what he sounded like. He just didn't sound like anybody else. He didn't sound like Lenny Bruce. He didn't sound like Jonathan Winters. He didn't sound like Mike Nichols. He certainly didn't sound like Elaine May. He sounded like Bob Newhart. He was completely individual. He had a slight stammer. Shelley Berman had a slight stammer, but it was different. It was Berman's routines were sharp and cutting, and always with a telephone. And Bob, it didn't matter whether he was on a telephone as Sir Walter Raleigh, you know, talking to the company back in England, or the bus driver, with the with that routine, or the fire department, or whatever. No matter what it was that he was involved in, you bought it. If he was acting as if he was a fireman, you accepted him as a fireman. If he acted as if he was an airline pilot with the Grace L. Ferguson Airline and Storm Door Company, then he was one of those. It was just amazing. He was a comedic chameleon.
Actually, that's about an hour interview, and I'll put a link on Raleigh.net to that if you want to hear it. It's from PBS.org. It's part of their American Master series, so I will link to that. But as far as the quintessential Bob Newhart bit from way back when...
Some of you may have seen an item a couple months ago about an unexploded shell that was found in London. It happens quite often over there. They were raising a building, and they were digging down the foundation. They found this unexploded shell. And they still have a bomb squad, an expert, courageous team of men, and they go out and they carefully defuse this bomb. It takes them like an hour to work off the cap. And they publish the pictures, always very exciting. But it got me to wondering, what would ever happen if a non-courageous, non-expert team of men were ever faced with a problem of defusing one of these bombs? So you're going to have to picture, if you will, this is the police station of a small eastern coastal city, and the chief of police is sitting at his desk. Now, this is the only police department that has a princess phone. Hello, Lieutenant Stevenson here. Patrolman Willard Hackmaster. Oh, hello, Willard. Willard, you're supposed to call in every hour, you know. You've found a shell on the beach. You think that's unusual, do you, Willard, finding a shell on the beach? It isn't that kind of shell. What's the matter? Doesn't it sound like the ocean when you hold it up to your ear, Willard? Oh, that kind of shell. It's probably a dud of some kind, Willard. I'll send some men out and they... Oh, is that right? Gee, I was sort of hoping that was your watch making that noise, Willard. I'm going to give it to you straight, Willard. You got a live one there, Willard. Willard, stop that whining. Willard, you've got nothing to worry about. I got the manual right here in front of me. Now, you and I are going to disarm that thing, Willard. Well, I'm not coming down there. No, Willard. I can't leave. Don't bring it in here, Willard. No. Willard, I have the manual right here in front of me. Now describe the thing to me. Yeah, it sounds like a torpedo of some kind, Willard. It's probably one of ours. Are there any markings on it? Made in Japan. It still could be one of ours, Willard. Are there any numbers or anything like that on it, Willard? M114. Let me look that up, Willard. Nothing, Willard. Well, boy, you found a beauty there, Willard. You know how powerful that thing is, Willard? Six city blocks, Willard, huh? What do you mean you call me back? There's a telephone booth seven blocks away. Willard, I know this is dangerous, but if we can save one human life, that's the way you feel about it, eh, Willard? Willard, I've got the manual right here in front of me. Now, we're going to disarm that thing if it's the last... We're going to disarm that thing, Willard. Now, according to the manual here, there are four screws... They're holding on a plate toward the rear of the thing. You see the screws? Yeah, now according to the manual, those screws should be carefully removed with an LZ-111 screwdriver with a plastic handle and a demagnetized head. You don't have one, huh, Willard? Well, try a dime then, Willard. You got it off, Willard? Now, inside there's a sort of wheel. You see the wheel? Yeah, why don't you try turning the wheel to the right, see what happens, Willard? It's ticking a lot faster now, isn't it? All right, turn it back, Willard. Willard, are you talking to somebody there? There's a kid there. Well, get the kid out of there, Willard.
The kid says it's his. It's a toy torpedo? Let me talk to the kid, will I? He ran down to the beach with it. You kept me on the phone here for 10 minutes, Willie. What was that noise, Willie? The toy torpedo just sunk a fishing trawler. Thank you so much. Well, it's out of our hands. It's in the Coast Guard's now, Willie, right.
Dan, rest in peace, Bob Newhart. We'll pick it up there with your requests and hopefully some of your phone calls coming up, too, on WGN Radio. That's the original. It all started when Cindy called last night and wanted to hear the Rolling Stones version. I said, I'll get to that. And I said, you've heard the original? She didn't. I said, or the Irma Thomas? She didn't. So I figured, well, let's go back and talk a little about this. Jerry Ragavoy wrote it. And if you've got a copy and you say, no, it's some guy named Norman Mead, that was Jerry Ragavoy using a pseudonym. All right. Originally, he wrote it as an instrumental because Kai Winding was a Danish trombonist wanting to take his career mainstream. And so he got together with Ragavoy, and Ragavoy wrote the melody and the title and the chorus. Now, by the way, the chorus, I believe it's been credited to something like the Gospeliers. Well, it's Dee Dee Warwick, Dionne Warwick, and Sissy Houston. And, of course, all they're singing in that is, time is on my side, you'll come running back. Well, that was in October of 63, and it was released on Verve, and it was quite the production. Creed Taylor produced it, and Phil Ramone engineered it, and of course it didn't chart, which is what you'd expect. So a few months later, actually in April of 64, Irma Thomas in New Orleans recorded it as a B-side. Now, what's interesting is you'll say, how the heck did she record it? It didn't have words. Ah, enter Jimmy Norman. And you'll remember Jimmy Norman, yes, from I Don't Love You No Mo'.
Hello?
Hello, girl.
Who's this?
This is me. And I just want to let you know, I don't love you no more.
All right, so that's Jimmy Norman, and just a classic, to say the least. But he actually wrote the lyrics to I Don't Love You No More, and so Irma Thomas got in the studio and recorded it. And as I say, it was a flip side, so it wasn't a hit either.
Thank you.
1964, as the British invasion was running full steam ahead, of course, the Rolling Stones come out with it on London, and it is a huge hit, and the rest is history. But it was Cindy requesting the Rolling Stones version, and we'll play that one right after the news. But right now, we have Jim. Jim is in Richmond. Jim, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, how are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty good.
I'm sorry you were almost no time left on your show.
Well, I don't think there's too much more important. We don't talk about it on this show, but certainly it was worth carrying, and I'm glad WGN did. So anyway, we're here for the next hour and a half. So what's up?
Right. I wanted to tell you that I watched Bob Newhart for years, but I loved him the best on The Big Bang Theory as Professor Proton.
Okay, sure.
And then John told me something I didn't know. He won an Emmy for that.
Yes. Yes.
I didn't know that.
I just loved his real early bits, those things he'd get on stage with that princess phone and do those phone bits, and I always thought it was hilarious.
Yes, I remember those.
Yeah.
And I saw him on all the other TV shows, but I was wondering, was his appearances on The Big Bang Theory his last?
You know, I don't think so, but because he was on Young Sheldon, too. But I'll look up the list in order, and I'll tell you right after the news.
Okay.
All right. I'm glad you called. Thanks, Jim.
Thanks. Good night.
All right. So we'll find out what's going on in the world at large. That's right. David Jennings in the newsroom right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, that's for Cindy in Chicago, who wanted the Stones version, which was a cover of Irma Thomas. In fact, as I mentioned, Irma had put it out in April. And by the way, the lyrics that that Jimmy Norman wrote, he wrote them while she was singing the song. Yeah, in the studio. So some of the ad libs and some of these soliloquies were all her. But nonetheless, the Rolling Stones heard it right after it was released. They said, "Yeah, we're going to do that." And so they recorded it in June of '64. Literally within days of hearing it at London's Regent Sound. And what was interesting is that started quite the Cold War between Irma Thomas and the Rolling Stones, because they never acknowledged her in any way. They never invited her on a tour, despite the fact that they would invite other performers from the U.S., including the likes of Tina Turner. And so it was that for years, Irma Thomas refused to sing it. And just would not do it. And eventually, I guess she and Jagger mended fences somehow, because this year, a couple months ago in May, at the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival, it was Mick Jagger and Irma Thomas singing it as a duet, which was the first time that Jagger had sung it since '98, and probably the first time that Irma Thomas had since '64, though it did appear on her Greatest Hits CD that they put out. In fact, that was the title of it. But there you have it. So, yeah, Jimmy Norman writing it while she was singing it. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. If it's on your mind, it is on mine. But right now, it is on Walter's mind. That's right. It's time for Walter's Perspective, sponsored by HearingHealthCenter.com.
Remember that
we fell in love beneath the stars above. That was a lovely summer night. Remember then. Remember then. Now and then, remember then.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. It was Fran and Austin who wanted Remember Then, the Earls, 1963. And, that was big for them. On Old Town, of course, as all their stuff was. The last thing they did was a CD about 20 years ago that Larry Chance, who now is also no longer with us, put together. It was really nice. Some nice stuff, including a nice slowed-down version of Never. All right, so with that in mind, I had failed Fran because I told her I was going to look up the next day to find out about EBT and whether that was available at restaurants in Texas. Now, EBT, of course, is the card, the benefit card you get if you're a SNAP client. And SNAP is the food service if you are disabled or if you are homeless or if your income falls below certain levels and are elderly and all that. All right, so SNAP is one of those, a lot like Medicaid, programs that's both state and federal. So each state runs it a little different. There are some federal, you know, rules that every state must follow, but other than that, the state decides. So SNAP has a program called RMP, which is the restaurant program. And the deal is that if your state elects to have RMP as a benefit of SNAP, then you're welcome to use it if you're a SNAP client. Now, so it's a convoluted thing. It's not as simple as you might believe. But firstly, only 9 states in America have some form of an RMP. So in other words, to use your EBT card at a restaurant, there's only 9 states where you can do it in one form or another. And that'd be Arizona, California, Illinois, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, New York, Rhode Island, and Virginia. That's it. If you're not in those states, you're out of luck. If you are in Illinois, you can only do it in Cook and Franklin counties. And then there are rules on top of that, because if you're going to use it at a restaurant, the restaurant has to be a participating member of this. And so, firstly, they must have a point-of-sale device that is programmed to accept the EBT cards. And if you've got equipment that accepts credit and debit cards, you probably could easily ask to add the EBT to your service and get that. But then you have to apply. And again, this is state by state. And some states like Arizona, like virtually all the fast food places, take the EBT cards. Other places, not so easy. Not too easy in Illinois, actually, as far as that goes. But Fran wanted to know about Texas, and Texas doesn't have a program for RMP. So that's the deal on that. And I don't know if Texas has any plans to add that, but for individuals who are not able to prepare meals for themselves, particularly if cost is also a big factor, this can be a major benefit. All right, so that was the deal there. 888-876-5593. Dave is in Chicago. Welcome to WGN Radio. Dave, are you with me?
I wanted to call.
Can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear. What are we talking about?
Oh, okay. I wanted to ask you, I was kind of digging through some old records that my grandparents had that I kept and really haven't listened to. They're pretty well damaged. I'm not exactly sure how to clean them up, but it reminded me, I grew up in Pittsburgh, the great KDKA.
Well, not only.
Which I have a lot of
Pittsburgh was so wonderful.
Memories.
Yeah, you had Porky Chedwick.
Probably before my time,
oh, yeah,
but I do remember.
Oh, yeah, the Pork with the Torque. Yeah, Porky was just terrific, and Mad. There were a ton of great jocks, but you're right. They probably predated you. But all right, so.
I did want to ask you, though. Yeah. So I would leave my grandparents' place, and I would always flick on the radio. Mm-hmm. I guess it's some sort of deterrent for people coming in thinking that somebody would be at home because they're listening to big band. And I just don't know any of the stations, if there are any stations that even play big band anymore in Pittsburgh. But if you could maybe throw out a few that I could like research and look up, that would be great.
No, the answer now is no. I'm thinking ZUM, the jazz station, may play some.
Oh, okay.
Might play, again, some. But, you know, there's a few things. Swing City Radio, if they're still on, and that's big band, but that may be internet only. You know, back in the day, like when you were listening probably 20 years ago, right? 20, 30 years ago?
Yep.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, back then, somebody, if they had nothing else they could do with their AM radio station, they'd play things like what I used to love to call music of what's left of your life, you know, the Al Ham format, and it would be the standards and all that. But today, when people have a spare station, they usually just LMA it to foreign language or somebody wants to buy the time. And there's very little over-the-air big band radio left at all, even pop standards. And when you think about it, it makes sense, because anybody who was alive and an adult of any age when big band was happening, they're not alive now.
Right.
So the demos just aren't there, which I think is a shame. I used to love those pop standard stations that would play, you know, every now and then you'd hear Sing, Sing, Sing or something, you know, which had to be 20 minutes long, I think. But you know, that's interesting. I think there is a Tucson station that still plays some big band. But now that you've mentioned it, I have my marching orders here, and I am going to research who might still be doing this on the air. Because
that would be cool.
Internet, yes, all over the place. But,
sure.
But you want somebody with a transmitter. And also, we're not going to say that HD 2 or 3 counts, all right? So you're not going to have to go get an HD radio, which most people don't have anyway. Well, we're talking about a primary signal. All right, so I've got my work cut out for me. I will make a list. All right, Dave. Thanks. Appreciate it.
I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure.
Bye-bye.
All right. Why not? It's something to do. And you're right, like I've got time. But no, this is the kind of thing that I think about later on. But if you are in a market where you have an over-the-air big band station, preferably full-time, not just like a weekend show on a public station, but preferably some full-time station. Let's see, KCEA. I think that would probably qualify, but they do Great American Songbook, and so a lot of that would be big band. So yeah, I would say that KCEA would qualify. They're a non-com. They're 89.1, and they're fairly low power, but they're still running it. So all right, well that's something, I guess, and. Look at that. So, and KCA is owned by the Sequoia Union High School District. I don't think so, but I think that's who did their website, actually. So that's the deal. But big band and adult standards. Yeah, they probably have 2 watts. I'll look them up. We'll find out. But if you have an actual over-the-air big band station near you, and again, this is not anything on satellite or internet. This is your local radio station, and Greg in Lombard thinks he knows of one, or maybe he does know of one. All right, so Greg, welcome to WGN Radio.
Yeah, hey, Raleigh, how's it going?
Right.
Yeah, there's a station out of the College of DuPage that plays jazz, and a lot of times they have big bands on it.
Yeah.
And a Saturday afternoon, they have like an old-time radio station, and even Saturday around 12 o'clock, they play big bands.
Yeah, that I'm aware of, and it's nice that they've got some weekend shows and stuff like that, but are there any stations left that are doing this as their format?
The full time? No, yeah. I don't think so. Not around here.
Yeah,
that's the only one I can.
Right. I'm going to look up the Tucson one because there used to be one in Tucson. But this little Sequoia High School station does, but my God, it's probably got all of 4 watts. So we'll have to take a look at that. But yes, you can. Non-commercial radio, the college stations and all that, on the weekends are, and even sometimes on the weekdays, are a great repository for things that you just don't hear anywhere else. So I think that's great.
Yeah. Can I ask for a couple requests?
Yeah, what do you want?
Well, if we're talking about big band, I was thinking of Ella Fitzgerald, Gold Coast. It was early. Yeah. Early Ella Fitzgerald.
Okay.
And then there's another one that's not big band, but I heard recently, I think it's the Third Dimension. Maybe? Is that it?
Maybe?
Have you ever heard the Third Dimension?
Well, of course, we all know the Fifth Dimension, but Third
Dimension. I know.
Yeah.
Gosh, I can't. I hope I'm getting that right. Maybe I'm not getting
No,
right.
No, Third Dimension is...
Like there were three... There were three black...
Right, they're around. That is kind of weird. I won't say that, but they're not really commercial as far as that goes. And it's entertainment. So, you know, they say it's socially relevant and artistically dynamic. I can't tell you beyond that. But they are around.
I thought they were around the 70s.
No, they were the Third Dimension was established in 1999, and it's a performance group in Chicago.
Oh, maybe I have it wrong then.
Well, like I say, we got fifth dimension from the 60s.
Oh, but, I know that. Yeah. Yeah, I know that.
So we have to find, you want other third dimensions, huh? Let's see if we can.
Yeah, I gotta look it up. The song is Maybe. Well, and they did another famous song.
Well,
maybe
the song by the Chantels?
No, it wasn't the Chantels.
No, I mean, it was maybe a cover for them.
The
3 degrees did maybe. Now are we talking?
That's
oh my God! Oh my God! All right. Yes, the 3 degrees, third dimension. Well, there you go. The three. Okay, then the three degrees did cover maybe, and since it took us so long to get there, I'll be happy to play it for you next.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Have a good day.
You too.
Okay. Bye.
All right. Thinking Third Dimension, I know they're like a performance troupe, and yeah, the 3 degrees. Well, why not? 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. And that is going to take us to Gary in Austin. What's happening tonight, Gary?
Well, hey, Raleigh, I know a big band station or a standard station with a signal. I think it's up around St. Cloud, Uptown 1010.
Okay.
I can't remember what WMIN, I think, are their call letters.
All right. Well, I remember WMIN, but all right. So St. Cloud. All right. Minnesota. I remember their big top 40 station used to be WJON and WWJOFM. All right. So big band radio. Let's see what we get.
They call it Ring-a-Ding Radio or something.
Really?
Like
oh,
that.
That's great. That's great. I love that.
Uptown 1010. They play. I've heard him play, you know, throw in a few current people like Michael Bublé and stuff like that on there. But they play
Uptown 1010. Here we have them all right. And they've got the Rat Pack right on their website, and you can listen on AM or FM. All right, so good deal. And I guess they would include some big band as well as the pop standards. Well, there you go.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've heard a lot of Sinatra on there and people like that. So, obviously, you know.
Yeah, that's not going to be much of a signal. But of course, they do stream as well.
Yeah.
And that's actually not St. John, that's Sauk River. But close enough. All right, hang on a minute. Don't go away. And we'll pick it up right there on WGN Radio.
You know, girls, it's hard to find a guy that really blows your mind. And you just dig everything about him. And when you mess up your good thing, you feel like you want to die. I know, because I messed up mine. You know, girls, sometimes we can say some pretty dumb things. I told the nicest guy in the world to get lost. I don't need you. But he was cool. He just stood there looking so hurt. And he said, if that's the way you want it. And he split. I just stood there looking dumb and let that man walk right out of my life. And I've been as evil as a wet hen ever since. I said I wasn't gonna sweat it. Oh, but I did. How do you just forget something that's a part of you? And then one evening I was standing at the bus stop and I heard a voice behind me say, hi, baby. Oh, I just fell all apart inside because I hadn't heard that voice in such a long time. I turned around and there he was. Oh, he was looking so good. I couldn't help but wonder if the flame was still there. But I knew I had to find out, and it had to be now. So I took his hand, looked into his eyes, and I said,
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That was 1970 on Roulette, and it was a top five R&B hit. I think it made about number 29 on the pop charts. And Richie Barrett, who wrote it originally but wasn't credited back on the end days with George Goldner getting the writing credits when it first came out in 1957, Richie produced it for the Three Degrees in 1970. But 13 years before that, he had worked with George Goldner to produce the song that he wrote for the Chantels. So there you have it. Yeah. Not quite as exciting as the Three Degrees, but a very big hit nonetheless. All right, so now to go back, before we get back to Gary and Austin here in a moment, I wanted to mention Jim in Richmond asked about Bob Newhart TV appearances. And yeah, Young Sheldon was the last. And he did three episodes of Professor Proton. But that character was developed on the Big Bang episode when he was playing Arthur Jeffries, who was Professor Proton. And that was for six episodes. So those were the last ones. And then he had three episodes in The Librarian and one episode in Hot and Cleveland and one episode of Sven Gulli, and that pretty much takes care of more than the last dozen years, so that's the deal there. Bob Newhart Show, of course, the one that everybody remembers, it, you know, 1972 to 78, 142 episodes, but he actually had a show before that, the Bob Newhart Show, which was around briefly in 1961, and so that's the deal. Rest in peace, Bob Newhart. All right, so 888-876-5593. Back to Gary and Austin. So I looked up the Tucson station, and Gary, and 1400 AM KTUC. Last August, 2023, it dropped Big Band in favor of conservative talk. So they're gone. So the next thing I did was I figured, well, let's go to Westwood One, because they, you know, just like Al Ham did, they too syndicated a format. Well, that format now is America's Best Music, and there's no Big Band to be found on it. So I've given up. Can you think of any? I see Gary left us, which is okay. I wouldn't blame him. But I'm not seeing any. If we're including Big Band and we are including full-time stations, I'm just not seeing them. But, again, public radio, the non-com dial, the world is your oyster on that. And you may be able to find something that will work for you. All right. Eduardo is in Tampa. Welcome back to WGN Radio, Eduardo.
Yeah, Raleigh, I thought I'd bring this story up over there in Mission Beach in San Diego. 15-year-old down there for about 20 minutes, six to eight feet deep in there.
Yeah, the sand hole. It happens.
Yeah.
Yes, and the good news is that these are well-traveled beaches. So this kid was not at a lonely part of the shore. And apparently, kids were digging a very deep hole. And so it is that a 16-year-old girl came into it. And apparently, they couldn't get her out. And so they notified lifeguards, who contacted local authorities to get the girl out of the hole. You know, the hole was supposedly 10 feet deep. She was only buried from her chest, so it makes you makes you wonder what the full story was there.
Yeah, and I think there's a similar story. I think it was in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was this year. I remember hearing something about that, yeah. So, I mean, they're telling the, I guess, beach authorities were saying, you know, when people leave, I mean, they should
cover their holes. Yes.
There you go. That's a good way of putting it. Yeah.
Yes, right. If you dig holes, cover your holes before you leave. Yeah, it is pretty interesting when you can suddenly be walking along the beach and fall to your shoulders, I would say. Now, her arms were out of the sand, so she was trapped, but not completely, though. She couldn't dig herself out. Sand's heavy.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah.
So yeah, you occasionally will hear about deaths, and I know there was one in Florida. There have been over the years in Florida a few of them. So yeah. So now
okay.
you not only have to worry about the sharks in the water, but you have to worry about the sand outside of it. Well, if you see a kid with a pail, run for your life.
Right, right.
So anything new on Job Search 2024?
Nothing new other than what I updated on Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I did try the Publix, and, you know, we'll see what happens. And we got a little bit into details about the departments, but, maybe next week something might turn up in that area.
Oh, good. I hope so.
Yeah. I was going to mention just one more thing. Sun City, Florida.
Yeah.
I saw this today. This guy, he goes to different places over here in the Tampa area.
Okay.
And he went over there, and there's a volunteer service over there, kind of like ambulance. And a lot of them are, I guess, seniors over there, but they did have like a 18 to 20-year-old who eventually was, I think it was like a cook, and went on to be a paramedic.
Okay.
I thought that was pretty interesting.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's Sun City Center. It's one of the Sun Cities, and it's in Hillsborough County, so all that far from Tampa. It's a little south of Tampa, north of Sarasota. If you're on I-75, you'll see the signs.
Okay.
And it's like all the Sun Cities. It's age-restricted, obviously. And, I think their demographics, they've got quite a few people there, like almost 25,000 people.
So, yeah, I thought that was a pretty interesting story to have a volunteer ambulance service there. And I think they even have somebody in a couple of people in their 90s. So,
well, you know, it makes sense because when you're unincorporated, there are services you're not going to easily get. And so if you've got 25,000 people all over the age of 55, which is the minimum to get in there, you're going to have to do something. And, you know, it's fairly common with things like fire departments. So I would think that it makes a lot of sense for an area like this. But I would also think, since those areas, while they're not incorporated, there's a loose association that sort of governs them. You would think that the developers would want to do that on their own, make sure that they had facilities. Now, they've got a hospital there, and they've got nursing homes, and it's one of those places, if you haven't been there, you'll know you're there because it's legal to drive golf carts on the street. So you know, you're behind golf carts, and literally they have as much right of way as you do. So it makes sense to me that they would have something for an ambulance service, and I wouldn't be surprised if the community itself is kind of spearheading that.
Yeah. Pretty interesting story. Yeah, I'm glad I was able to see that this morning. Yeah.
For people who want to check it out, suncitycenter.org, and that's the deal on them. But you know, most communities now, major cities anyway, in any of the Sun Belt, is going to have that kind of stuff. But what made Sun City Center a little bit different is that they are really going for affordability, you know, because a lot of these places are really nice, but man, you better have sold a pricey home to get in them. And so Sun City Center, it bills itself as, you know, affordable. And so often I'll look up the price of the house to see what the hell affordable really means. But nonetheless, that's their stated mission, to be the most affordable and desirable community that for 55 plus. And you know, that's them. And you know, not too far from you, you could go visit it.
Right. Yeah, I was thinking about. Yeah, I mean, I'm not that far away. Maybe in maybe in 10 years. Yeah.
Well, just check them anyway.
Head over there,
yeah. Just go down 75.
And join the volunteer service over there.
Right,
yeah.
Right. I'll have to look at that as far as that goes, because I wouldn't be surprised that the community itself is going to be behind something like that, since they do have the hospital and nursing homes and stuff like that.
Yeah, neat story. Okay,
yeah,
Raleigh.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Thank you very much. Yeah, have a good weekend.
You
Take
too.
Care.
Yeah, most of the senior cities, like the Villages and stuff, no, they do not let you drive your golf carts on the street, you know, have parity with 4-wheelers or 18-wheelers. Well, yeah, Sun City Center does. All right, I don't know if that's a plus or a minus when you get down to it. 888-876-5593. We'll get to Chris in Greenwood, and hopefully you too on WGN Radio.
Little wallflower on the shelf, standing by herself. Never had the nerve.
Let the little girl dance. Let the little girl dance. She never danced before. So let her on the floor. Let the little girl dance. Let the little girl dance. She wants to give it a try. So let the little girl bite. She's been a little wallflower. She wants to pass by you, buddy, can't you see? She wants to dance with me.
She wants to dance with me.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, Billy Bland, yes, Wilmington, North Carolina's own, of course, migrated to New York and then had hits. Sadly, been gone now about 7 years or so. But in 1960, he was on top of the world on Old Town doing Let the Little Girl Dance, and Fran and Austin wanted to hear that. So 888-876-5593. Now, Bill in Watertown, Massachusetts, thinks he found a big band station. All right, Bill, where is it?
It's actually, I think it's out of West Palm Beach, WMLML, I think it is. It's, I know it's owned by that Dick Robinson who had a chain of...
Right, absolutely, and the Connecticut School of Broadcasting, right.
Exactly.
Right.
See, that started up here in Massachusetts.
Yeah, LML. And Legends Radio. Now, that's, again, that's not big band, but it's pop standards for sure. And, you know, it's going to be like Frank Sinatra and all that. But, you know, I don't know. They might on the weekend have some big band stuff.
Yeah, I think they do. Funny, I heard, I don't know if you have time.
Yeah, sure.
On the weekend... I was listening to it, and they were doing an interview with Little Anthony.
Uh-huh.
You know, Little Anthony and the Imperials.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, Anthony Gordine, sure.
And he was telling an interesting story of how he got started, I guess. Was there a Teddy Randazzo?
Oh, of course. Well, there wouldn't have been a Little Anthony without Teddy Randazzo writing.
Oh, okay. And he took him, Teddy took him to Don Costa.
Uh-huh.
You know, to see if Don Costa wanted to, you know, use him,
uh-huh,
promote him, and so forth. And so they talked and so forth, and Don Costa listened and said, yes, he's interested. And he said, I just want to check with you. Is there any, are you under contract to anybody else right now? And Little Anthony,
mm-hmm,
was under contract to Roulette Records.
Well, he's actually under a contract to end George Goldner, but George Goldner had to divest to Moish Levy at Roulette because of gambling debts, so yes.
Okay, so he said, well, you know, can you get out of that? And he said, it came down to no. And so then nothing happened, I guess, for a month or so. And then he got called back from Don Costa. And Don Costa said, you know, I'm going to sign you because Roulette, or whoever owned,
yeah,
has released you.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, how'd that happen? And Costa said, well, I talked to Frank Sinatra.
Oh,
and he evidently got somebody to put some pressure on Roulette, you know, to release the contract. And so he was able to sign them then.
Well, it's interesting. Anthony Gordine used to be in the DuPonts, which had some really nice stuff, but never was a hit. They were on Apollo for a little while, and then the Chesters became the Imperials, as far as that goes, and they signed with End in 58. And there were hits on it. I mean, End was most of their hits. So, but yeah, End had been owned by George Goldner, and ultimately Moish Levy at Roulette got all of that. So, interesting story. I'm not sure about the timeline on it, but I know that what happened probably afterwards, because here's the deal. Teddy Randazzo was instrumental in getting them out of Roulette, because Roulette, like I say, took over End, and then they put him on Don Costa's label, which was DCP, Don Costa Productions, and that's where Hurt So Bad and Out of My Head, Outside Looking In, Take Me Back, all that was DCP. But their earlier stuff, Shimmy Shimmy Coco Bop and stuff like that, that was all on End, which is, you know, what Morris Levy wound up owning. But yeah, they did go to DCP. So that's interesting.
And I guess, what was the relationship with Sinatra? Did Costa do a lot of the arrangement, some arrangements for him and so forth?
Yeah, there were all sorts of relationships as far as that goes. And, you know, some of the Moish Levy stories are apocryphal. But Costa had worked on a number of Frank Sinatra albums. And in fact, he was working basically as Frank Sinatra's arranger producer when he discovered Paul Anka. That's who it was. And Don Costa, of course, is from Boston, as you probably know.
Yes.
And you know, he played on CBS. But what I always found interesting, he played guitar with Bucky Pizzarelli, who's one of my favorite guitarists, on Ghost Riders in the Sky for Vaughn Monroe. And so then, of course, he wrote for Steve and Edie, which was a big deal. And then he wound up on Ampar. He was head of A&R for ABC Paramount. And there were a lot of Lloyd Price stuff that in that period of time. And he was probably in the latter 50s, the number one arranger in America for, you know, all those pop and pop standards records. And then when Frank Sinatra formed Reprise, the Revenge label, he hired Costa. So that's how that Sinatra and Strings album came out. So, yes. Stay where you are. Don't go away. Stay right where you are, because nothing waits for the news, certainly not I, on WGN Radio.
From out the sky, and the sky feels blue. Tear a petal from a rose, and the rose weeps too. Take your heart away from mine, and mine will surely break. My life is yours to make, so please keep the spark away. Would you take the wings from birds so that they can fly? Would you take
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that's Gloria Lynn. Don't Take Your Love From Me. Dave and LaSalle wanted to hear that. So 1964 on Everest, as far as that goes. Yeah, perfect for a pop standards format, don't you think? So we were talking to Bill in Watertown, and I interrupted him on the Don Costa story. So, yeah, I don't think it would have taken all that much convincing at that point to have Moish Levy drop him, because, again, he had the hits when he was on End. You know, George Goldner was involved with all those records. And then when Levy acquired the catalog, he was not paying any attention to Little Anthony. Little Anthony was in an absolute cold period. There was nothing going on. So I don't think it would have taken that much convincing.
Yes. Now, Levy, what was it? He just didn't pay the royalties?
Well, and most people didn't. He's not alone. Uh-huh. It was the rare bird who actually did pay them. But for the most part, Moish was like most of the independent businessmen who owned labels. Their logic was, hell, these acts can make more money if they have a hit record, so I'm doing them a favor. How dare they ask for money too? So not saying that Levy never paid, because actually later, and you know, he ultimately got into trouble and then died, when it came to looking over his books much, much later, it showed in some cases that he absolutely did an honest accounting. But then there are also the cases where he was reputed to have hung a guy outside his New York City office window who asked for royalties, hung him by the feet. He didn't drop him. But in any event, I think a lot of the stories about Levy are bigger than the man himself. I mean, no doubt about it. You know, he owned Birdland. And, you know, before he even started Roulette Records, he owned Birdland. And sadly, his brother was murdered right in front of it. And there's a lot of people, this was about 48, 49, a lot of people thought that hit was meant for Levy. He didn't form Roulette till after that, but, you know, did, and did a number of things. But the stuff that he kept getting from Goldner, each time Goldner had gambling debts and was being threatened with his life, Moish would pay off the gambling debts and own the label. So whether it was G or End or Rama or Gone, that was all Goldner. But Levy didn't have the kind of ears to pick out that stuff, and so a lot of the acts would lie somewhat fallow. Oh, he'd put them on the, you know, 22 original winners or whatever, oldies compilations, because he was one of the first guys, Moish Levy was one of the first guys to ever do those oldie compilation albums. The only one who predated him was Art LeBeau. But other than that, it probably, like I say, it didn't take much, I don't think, to have Levy agree to release them. And so when they did, Teddy Randazzo, who wrote a lot of that mid-60s stuff, put him on Don Costa, because Don Costa had moved from New York to L.A. to open DCP Productions, and that was the label.
Yeah, now, you mentioned Bucky Pizzarelli.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a big fan of his son.
Oh, yeah?
John.
Okay.
He comes to the Boston area every so often. I try to see him.
Okay.
He has a small group, maybe, of course, he plays the guitar, piano player,
yeah,
a bass, and
yeah,
a drummer. And, he's very good. He sings also. And
good for him.
And he does very well. He had a show on, I don't know whether it was through public radio or something, on Saturdays. It stopped now for many years, where he'd talk about music and so forth. And I don't know whether it was his wife that was on with him or whatever, but. No, and he's very talented, and as I say, he sings, and
good for him.
He's a very good entertainer, and he has one song that he does I really like, called "I Like Jersey Best," about New Jersey, and it's kind of a funny song.
Well, he was born in Patterson, so why not?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right.
Good
deal.
Well,
good talking with you. Thank you.
Likewise. Thanks. I appreciate the call.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Yeah. Bucky Pizzarelli was just the best. And sadly, he's been dead about 4 years, but it was a long life. He died, I think, also 94, much like, sad to note, Bob Newhart, dead now at 94. But Bucky played with everybody, whether it was Antonio Carlos Jobim or some of that George Barnes stuff, or Les Paul or whatever it was. But the George Barnes stuff, some of it was really, really nice. And he was from Patterson as well. Lived there, I guess, his whole life, and had been playing professionally since World War II. He joined Vaughn Monroe's dance band, and then I think he was a staff musician at NBC in 52, the early days of television, and then he was on the Tonight Show band, and actually that was Johnny Carson, because that would have been around 64, and played a number of gigs there. So yeah, great stuff. But he and George Barnes did some really nice stuff, including a duo album, the Town Hall, New York City. So okay, I digress. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. Now, Chris in Greenwood. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. How you doing?
All right. How about yourself? What's new?
I'm doing good. I've just hyped up for the 20-year Emerald High School class reunion of 2004.
Wow.
With my old classmates.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you kept in touch with any of them?
Oh yeah, I kept in touch with a few of them.
Okay.
Off and on.
Okay. Well, I want you to call me after the reunion and tell me about the biggest surprise, because there's always a surprise at the reunions.
Oh, yeah, because we graduated 20 years ago,
and
it will be at Montague's in Uptown Greenwood.
Well, good.
That Saturday at 6 p.m.
Well, you'll have to see if the prom queen got fat and if the football star has had a career and everything else.
Oh, yeah. But I've been knowing them from elementary to high school, and we get old as we grow old after all them years of graduation.
Well, usually the 30th, because your 20th reunion, you're still relatively young, but the 30th reunion, you're kind of at the height of your careers, if you will. And I always find that's the one where everybody goes to show off how well they've done. So it'll be interesting to hear how 20 went.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I love to see my classmate.
Yeah.
Because I went with them from, like, Oakland Brewer and now Emerald.
Right.
And I remember those Friday nights, being the marching band playing the tambourine at them high school games, the football games on Friday night.
And now their kids are probably doing it.
Uh-huh, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, because classmates, they got their kids playing football.
Sure, because you're kind of staring 40 in the face when you go to your 20th reunion, usually about 38 years old. And so, yeah, sure, if you've had kids, they're probably in high school as well. Yep.
Yeah, and there's a lot changed, like sports, because, you know, we had a new gym built, and they renovated school. A lot has changed at Emerald.
Okay. So I know you love to do videos. You're going to take videos of the 20th reunion?
I'll probably take some videos. I might interview a few of my classmates on my little small radio station, 95.7.
Okay.
I call it CJW Radio. It's a Part 15 FM transmitter.
Sure.
I'm going to record some sound bites and play it on my little Sunday night radio show.
All right, and for everybody on the block, yes.
Yeah, on the block, yeah. And I'm going to do like a theme show playing all the songs from 2004.
Great.
Mm-hmm. And because, you know, like if you, I own a little radio station and I've been doing good at it. And
good.
It's not AM, but it's like FM.
Well, that's the big thing now anyway.
Uh-huh, because we used to have an FM station 103.5, but it's now a Christian station.
Uh-huh.
Sunny 103.5, but it, you know, is no longer. But the only thing we got is CRS and WZLA out of Abbeville.
Okay.
Those are the big stations, and yeah, my station's small, but
sure.
Yeah, I just love the.
Well, you're not all that far from Columbia as far as radio listening goes, so you can probably hear the Columbia stations.
Yeah, WVOZ 5-6,
and maybe even some of Augusta.
WRDW.
Uh-huh. So there you go.
Yeah, and I can pick up weather radio stations out of Columbia.
I'm sure,
WXJ20.
That's right. Yeah. Well, good. Good.
Yeah, because, so, you know, 560 used to be WIS.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was
wonderful. I don't
know if they're. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if they're Clear Channel station.
No, 560 was a regional frequency, but it was a very nice regional frequency. Most, and of course, they're VOC AM now, but most 560s were, 5,000 watt days, 1,000 watt night, non-directional. That wouldn't be uncommon. So it was 560 was a nice little frequency. And a lot of radio stations, WFIL 560, Duluth, the big station, WEBC 560, of course, WQAM 560, a lot of 560s.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, there's 1350s. You ever heard of some AM 1350s?
Well, yeah, 1350s a little more crowded.
Yeah, because we used to have WGSW and WLMA and, you know what happened there, with the owner, Ron Moore, because he was behind his FCC requirements, and they shut that down in 2012.
Yeah, it
And I hate to say this, but Greenwood High, because they online now because 103.5 used to broadcast their football games in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And if we had 1350 going, they would have picked them up.
Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of 1350s across America. It's a crowded dial position, but I'm trying to think.
What about 1450s?
Oh yeah, you're talking about what used to be the Class 4 radio stations, and just about all of them. 1450, my God, they're probably trying to think, but hundreds, absolutely hundreds of 1450s. But
including WCRS here at Greenwood.
Right. Right, so that's very, very crowded. I mean, you know, that was a typical Class 4 frequency, and you name it. Most of them were Class C stations. They weren't in terrible shape, but they did not have great signals.
Why Class 4?
Yeah, well, Class 4 traditionally was 1,000-watt day, 250-watt night, and then they allowed it to be 1,000-watt day and night. And there are some exceptions on that, obviously.
Yeah, like the RSD.
Yeah, but...
because like on the outskirts of Greenwood, at night, you can barely pick up the AM part of WCRS because it got overlapping stations.
Well, that's the thing. There are a lot of stations on these frequencies, so they're usually very local in nature. And you'd have to look at each one. Occasionally, you'd see a directional, but they don't have to be. So as far as you mentioned Greenwood, so yeah, CRS, and that's your typical. It's 1,000 watts day and night, non-directional. And
if you in the outskirts, like where shoulder 96, you can barely hear stack, but you can turn like the interior, what you call it, antenna for AM.
Oh, the twin.
If you point toward stations,
right?
You probably can pick up off and on.
Right, the ferrite antenna is what helps you for AM to a good degree. But yeah, there's a little Hendersonville one, WHKP, I remember them so well. Where the heavens kiss the peaks. I don't know who came up with that, but in any event, they were around for years.
You know, there's some 860s like nearby Lawrence, WLBG.
Sure. Sure. Well, you're not going to find any frequency that doesn't have a lot of stations. Now, if they originally were clear channel frequencies, they don't have much in it at night. But as far as in the day, everybody, and then you have to look to see, well, is there a Canadian clear or a Mexican clear? Because sometimes that will influence what somebody can do on it. But, you mentioned an 860, it's not unusual to see 10,000 watts in the day and 100 watts at night or something. It's, because again...
Yeah, you can pick up the Canadian stations on 860 night.
Kono in San Antonio was an 860 that I think was 5 kilowatt day and about 900 watts at night, and it did pretty well.
There's a 720 in North Carolina, near the mountain.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that was all part of the breakup of the clears. Originally, they wouldn't allow for any stations at night, for the most part, to have any real power. And then that started to break up big time in the 80s. And so you'd see people, again, a lot of them on the 720, you'd see they had nothing at night. But you've got, I know there was one outside in Universal City outside of Houston that had a little bit of nighttime power. And... I don't know. Hernando, Florida. Yeah, Brooks near Brooksville. They had a little power, but you mentioned North Carolina. The Pisgah Forest station, they had 50,000 watts in the day, but they didn't have anything at night.
Yeah, because sometimes like they'd be overlapping WGN.
Right. Well, so what that would be, it'd be 50,000 watts in the day, and then they'd get critical hours. And the critical hours, and that's about to change again, that just new ruling on that, but the critical hours would be, basically your kind of sunset and sunrise. And they had 15,000 watts during critical hours, and so that would be, sunrise to 2 hours after and 2 hours before sunset. But like I say, they just issued another ruling on that. But yeah, so they were basically a daytimer when you get down to it. It was nice 50,000 watts in the day, but they did not have any nighttime signal to be heard of. But in the day, you could hear it. What?
Is 1590 considered the up above AM dial?
No, of course, no. 1590, you're still really in the heart of the AM band, because remember, it used to be 540 to 1600, and then they expanded it with the EB band, the extended band EB, and that was to 1710. So, you know, you can easily find stations.
Yeah, 1590 was WABV out of Abbeville. That's our neighbor, WABV, because they've been bought out twice.
Well, most of the stations,
you know, they
play
stuff in a loop, like PSAs and commercials. Mm-hmm. They don't really play music. They just play the same thing over and over, like in a loop.
Yeah, well, I guess that's programming. Why not? And, 1590, John says I got to shut up and go, like right now. So I'll talk to you later. I think the show's over. Okay, bye. Sorry about that.
Have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too. All right. I think it is over, but if not, we'll come back and talk to James. Otherwise, we'll talk to you on Monday Night Trivia. Until then, I'm Raleigh James. It's thanks to Adam and thanks to John and you too on WGN Radio.